On this episode of Everett Lee Show, we go high octane. I'm going to talk about the Fast and the Furious, and it happens right now.
The Everett Lee Show podcast, a shot of entertainment.
The Fast and the Furious came out in 2001, starring Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor, Vin Diesel as Dominic Toretto, Michelle Rodriguez as Letty, and Jordana Brewster as Mia Toretto. The movie was directed by Rob Cohen, and writing credits from the WGA, Ken Lin Lai. From a magazine article, Racer X, Gary Scott Thomas wrote the screen story. And the screenplay was done by Gary Scott Thomas, Eric Berquist, and David Ari. Pretty much the plot is Los Angeles police officer Brian O'Connor must decide where his loyalty really lies when he becomes abnormed with street racing world he has been sent undercover to destroy. I don't even know what the hell that word's. I don't even know what the hell I wrote. So I'm just looking at my notes here. So the movie came out in 2001. I remember when this movie came out. It pretty much something different. The trailer caught your attention. At that time, right around the summer, beginning of summer or spring, you're seeing these, you go to the movies, you're seeing trailers before a movie, and then you see this, the Fast and the Furious. When I first seen the trailer in the movie theater, I said to myself, I said, that's the dude from Pitch Black. I recognized Vin Diesel right away. Pitch Black, one of my favorite movies, sci-fi movies that he did at the time. And I recognized Paul Walker from Varsity Blues and another movie called The Skulls. And I liked the trailer at the time. It caught my attention. Street racing. It was one of those good trailers that just caught your attention. You're like, at the time, I want to see this movie. Or you're like, nah, this sucks. But the cast is pretty big here. Also, you have Chad Lindbergh as Jesse. You have as Vince Matt Schultz. I suck with names. Johnny Strong is Leon. And of course, you have, I can't even say his name. He plays Hector. But, and of course, Ja Rule was in it. He was in that movie too for a brief minute with the street racing scene there when they're doing the race. But other than that, this movie is the first out of a long running franchise that's been running for quite some time, and people's thoughts and opinions about this, it just goes on and on. They like this, that's it. The second one, yeah. Third one, you know, and then it goes on and on. The plots, the stories get ridiculous, but that's another time, another story for their podcast. But The Fast and Furious from 2001, it's the one that kicked it off on this long running franchise here. And it right here from Wikipedia, I pulled up here that the Fast and Furious entered development in late 1998 after Rob Cohen and producers Neil H. Mortez read a Vibe article about illegal street racing in New York called Racer X. Thomas and Bergsing wrote the original screenplay that year, and Ari, David Ari, was soon hired after to clean up the script there. And they were going to set it in New York, but they decided, you know, we're just going to, you know, change it up and set it in Los Angeles right there. And pretty much the principal photography commenced in July 2000. And it finished from July 2000 to October, with filming locations primarily in Los Angeles and the surrounding Southern California area. Trance DJ and record producer BT, he was hired to compose the score for the film. The film's titled is actually borrowed from Roger Corman's 1954 of the same name, The Fast and the Furious. So they had to get the rights for that and stuff. But originally, The Fast and Furious originally to be set, released worldwide March 2001, but it was postponed until the summer. It premiered at the Main Village Theater in Los Angeles on June 18, 2001, and was theatrically released in the United States on June 22nd by Universal Pictures. The film itself, it did receive mixed reviews from critics and criticism for its screenplay and characterization. I can't say that word. But praises the action sequences and Walker and Diesel's performances, considered their breakout roles. And if you look at that, this pretty much, Paul Walker, it broke him out. Vin Diesel, it broke him out. And it helped a lot of the other supporting actors and actresses in their movies, like Michelle Rodriguez. That's another one right there with their breakout roles, because look at the movies that they did right after The Fast and Furious. And you, if you look at the movies that also they did quite a handful of movies beforehand. Vin Diesel was directing and producing his own movies. I have a few of them on DVD. And same thing with Paul Walker. Varsity Blues, he did some other movies. He did The Skulls in 1999. But after this movie here, it broke them out with different box office movies. The Fast and Furious, it was a commercial success. It grossed about $207 million worldwide, making it the 19th highest grossing film of 2001, followed by the sequel, Too Fast, Too Furious, in 2003. And pretty much, this has been the plot and the story to it. It's Point Break with street racing. If you remember the movie with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves back in the late 80s or early 90s, I believe it was early 90s, Point Break, about Keanu Reeves going undercover as a surfer to bust bank robbers that were surfers. Same thing. You could take this. It's Brian O'Connor going in undercover as a street racer to bust street racers, hijacking like VCRs, DVD players, stereo systems, hijacking semis. So yeah, you could call this Point Break street racing, a Point Break, whatever hell you want to look at it. But it introduced pretty much what the import and racing scene that like blew up, I remember, in the early 2000s. Everybody running around with rims on their car, paint schemes, and bumblebee mufflers, you know, make your car sound good. You make your car look like Fast and Furious. Upside, you're like, wow, a lot of people are like, yeah, they've seen Fast and Furious. Yeah, they made a car just look like it from the movie. But then I knew people that would have that look of the Fast and Furious car, but the engine wouldn't last long because they forget to change the freaking oil. But it was a phase, but it still is today. Street racing, you know, modding cars, import cars. It it's still a thing. It just made it more popular. I feel that it did that. But the development, talk about director Rob Cohen. He pretty much expired to make the film after reading a 1998 Vibe Mag article called Racer X about street racing in New York and watching an actual illegal street race at night in Los Angeles. And the original title of the film was going to be called Red Line before it was changed to The Fast and Furious. So Roger Corman licensed the rights of his 1954 film, The Fast and Furious, to Universal so that the title could be used for the project. Both films were about racing. David Ayer, he pretty much, he's done quite a bit here. He's another known American filmmaker for making crime films that are sent to Los Angeles and deal with gangs and police and corruption. One of his screenplays, known one would be Training Day, 2001's Training Day with Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. And then he's done SWAT from 2003. And he also directed Harsh Times from 2005. So he was brought in to rework the script. And he made changes from it from mostly white and suburban stories set in New York to a diverse one set in Los Angeles. You add to that diversity. Los Angeles has a lot of diversity, and you see it in this film there. And they offered the role of Brian O'Connor before Paul Walker took it. They offered it to Eminem. He turned it down because he wanted to work on his own movie, 8 Mile, at the time. They even considered for the role Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale were considered for the role. Can you imagine Christian Bale as Brian O'Connor? Mark Wahlberg, I was like, wow, when I read that. Originally, the studio told the producers they would greenlight the film if they could get Timothy Olyphant to play the role of Dominic Toretto, but he didn't want to do it because he just did the movie Gone in 60 Seconds and he declined the role. But Neil H. Mortez suggested Vin Diesel, who had to be convinced to take the role, even though he had only played supporting roles at that point. And they had to convince him, and thank God he did, because, I mean, look at the franchise, you know. But Mia Toretto, which I find interesting, it was originally written for Eliza Dushku. If you remember her, she's been in a bunch of movies, especially she was known to play Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. She was on there. She was on that short-lived supernatural drama show called True Calling. Originally, that role was written for her. She turned it down. And I find interesting that Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jessica Biel, Kirsten Dunst, and even Natalie Portman auditioned for the role for Mia Toretta until they gave it to Jordana Brewster. And there's just like prior to the filming, talking about Jordana Brewster and Michelle Rodriguez, they did not have their driver's license while filming before the movie. So they took driving lessons during production. And I'm just reading this off here. For cinematic race scenes between Brian and Toretto, separate shots of both cars crossing the railroad and train crossing the street were filmed, then composed together. The beauty of editing film, which I'm a fan of. I like how they edit different types of scenes in this movie. I like the editing of this, especially with the first street race. I like how they did that, because when I first seen that, when this movie first came out, I never seen anything like it at the time. And then come to find out, oh, they were just sitting in cars and it was special effects CGI around them, which you're like, wow. But it gave you that visual because I've never seen anything like that at the time. I know anybody's never really seen it at the time. I like how that sequence was put together. I mean, just really, really good. And with the special effects to make it feel, you know, from Brian's point of view to Toretto's point of view, and just that right there, which I thought was really good. During the filming of the movie, speaking of cars, 78 cars were wrecked both on and off screen. Out of the 78 cars, 3 cars were shown being destroyed in the film's trailer alone, which I find interesting there. Let's take a look right here on my notes. Some more inside tidbits. I like knowing about the trivia and knowing about this stuff here, which I find really interesting. And of course, while this loads up here, you can't forget the one-liners, which I'll get to here. But as I was saying, with Michelle Rodriguez and Jordana Brewster, neither of them had their driver's license or learner's permit before the production of the film. They get that during the production of the movie. Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez were dating off screen during the filming, just as they were on screen. And I think that helped between Letty and Dominic with their chemistry. I find it really interesting. So that, you could tell the chemistry off screen or on screen played, you know, off screen too, which made it really good. Paul Walker and Vinny. I can't say his last name. They carefully, the scene right there in front of Toretto's where Brian comes in, gets the tuna with no crust, and he's leaving, and Vince is like, hey, you know, go to, I forget the name of the place. He's like, you go there and get a double cheeseburger for $2.95, faggot. And he's like, I like the tuna. No one likes the tuna. And they get into a fight there, which I think is great, because I like the part where Mia's hollering at Dom, and he's like, Dom, you have to do something. He turned around and looks. O'Connor has Vince over, and he's just punching him. And he looks at him, and he's like, what you put in that sandwich? And they're like, girl, funny. And he goes and breaks up the fight. That fight there, they pretty much carefully choreographed the fight scene outside the grocery store, but when it came time to shoot, it just didn't feel right. So that whole fight right there was improvised. They just went with it right there. Vin Diesel actually broke a stuntman's nose during the filming of the movie. And during the race war, the real life drivers brought their cars to participate in the huge scenes. So you had a lot of like drivers that had their cars there for extras. Filmmakers asked owners of the houses in the background to repaint their houses with a more muted color to show off the colorful cars. Over 1,500 cars were at Race Wars. And Dominic's RX-7 originally had a roll cage. It was removed to accommodate Vin Diesel's physique. A little bit big there. The first street race scene is supposedly a quarter mile race, taking approximately 10 seconds. However, the race took almost 2 minutes of screen time to show the vehicles driving in excess of 150 miles an hour, faster than ever a 1,200 horsepower can accompany a 1.4 whatever car that is. Never heard of it. Mark Wahlberg. Yep. Okay. There's 15,000 individual sound effects in the first street race. And the Volkswagen Jetta, the one that Jesse drove in the movie, it was later purchased by Frankie Muniz. Malcolm in the Middle, he bought the car I don't know if he still has it though, but also the movie playing on the television in Dom's house during the night was Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, which was also directed by Rob Cohen. Of course, working titles for the movie, Red Line, which I mentioned, Race Wars and Racer X. And Vin Diesel's character is supposedly supposed to be 24, but in reality, Vin Diesel was 10 years older than that. He was 34. Let's see. Alright. I like this right here. My father used to say this. He used to quote this, the Henry Ford quote, and it has to do with this. At the house party, Dom said to Brian, "You can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona." It's a reference to Henry Ford, although he probably never said you could have any color you want as long as it's black. My dad used to tell me that as a joke. God rest my father. Although the Model T, which he was supposedly referring, was made in several colors, including a couple shades of green and red, as well as gray, blue, and several others. The phrase has long been attributed to him. The Model T was not available in black during its first year of production. Didn't know that. There were more than 60 Japanese vehicles in this movie. The car Leon was driving, it was a Nissan Skyline R33, which was not available in the United States and must have been imported from Japan. And when at the party after the first race, the song Area Codes by Ludacris can clearly be heard. Ludacris, of course, would go on to be Tesh and the rest of the franchise there. And a little casting, uncredited casting for this. The driver of the KJ Transport big rig truck in the final heist, that's actually Kevin Smith from Hercules, the TV show. Kevin Smith, Xena Warrior Princess, that was him behind the wheel. In the DVD commentary, Rob Cohen made note that since the role was uncredited for the film, he also mentions in the commentary that he kept Kevin's face observed to give the same anonymity that he did to the other truck drivers. Paul Walker was the first actor to sign on. Vin Diesel took a bit more persuasion after the script changes had been made for him. A little bit more there. And this is funny. Rob Cohen's originally casting choice for the Fast and Furious, this is what he wanted to have cast for this movie here. He wanted Mario Lopez as Dominic, and then Mark Paul Glossner as Brian, and Dustin Diamond as Jesse. However, the studio execs feared that the reteaming of Saved by the Bell co-stars would confuse audiences. Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, and Chad Lindbergh were eventually cast in the roles. Let's see. There's a bunch of stuff. Oh yeah, the house in the scene where O'Connor would go in and meet with the LAPD and the FBI. The house that was headquartered for the FBI and LAPD undercover investigations, in the same house that was used as Walter Matthau's house in Hanging Up from 2000. If you've ever seen that there, you'll recognize the house. Another interesting casting was Colin Farrell was considered, you know, we're trying to get him for the part of Dominic Toretto. But it's Jordana Brewster. This was her last acting role for 3 years until Debs in 2004. And some interesting stuff with this movie. I just like these little tidbits here. But anyhow, one little tidbit was when they're setting up for the street racing scene, that first street racing scene right there where they're blocking off the street. you noticed a Pizza Hut delivery guy coming up, and he's like, "What the hell's going on here?" And Leon says, "Find another way home, pizza boy." And he says, "Goddamn street racers." That was Rob Cohan, the director. He played a little cameo there. But let's pull up some more stuff here. I just like the informations and stuff about finding about films. One thing about this. The music, again, the score was composed by music producer BT, mixing electronica and hip-hop industrial influences. Two soundtracks released for the film. The first one, mostly hip-hop and rap music. The second one, titled More Fast and Furious, featured alternative metal, post-grunge, and neo-metal songs, as well as selected tracks from BT's score. Box office. Let's talk about this right here. So when Fast and Furious was released on June 22nd, 2001 in North America, it ranked number one at the box office ahead of Dr. Dolittle 2, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, and Atlantis, The Lost Empire, earning $40 million during its opening weekend. Or no, I'm getting that number wrong. Not 40 million. Yeah, I earned 40 million. No, it didn't. Let's get another exact number here. I'm looking at the one thing I'm not supposed to. Here we go. Here's what look at. I guess you get it signed up. Okay, whatever. All right. Fast and Furious rated PG-13 for violence, sexual content, and language. Let's see. All right. I'm looking for numbers here. I had numbers. Okay. So, yeah, it earned about 40. Yeah, 40 million. Okay, I was right about that. The film became one of the four consecutive Universal films of 2001 that grossed $40 million in their opening weekend, with others being Jurassic Park 3, American Pie 2, and The Mummy Returns. Its widest release was 2,889 theaters. During its run, the film had made a domestic total of over $144 million. Along with international totals of $62 million, bringing it worldwide of a budget of $38 million. DVDs, VHS, that was the thing back in the day before streaming. I still like Blu-rays and DVDs because of the extras. You don't get that on streaming. So, and also when your cable goes out and your internet goes out, what the hell are you gonna watch? DVDs. My nephew said that to me one time. We went out to a flea market. I'm looking for Monsters Inc. There, the first one on Blu-ray for my daughter. Why do you want to get that? I want to get it for my daughter. Oh, you can just stream it. I'm like, yeah. Well, what if I lose cable and the internet goes out? Silent. So there you go. Box office. No. Home media. Here we go. Fast and Furious released on DVD and VHS on January 2nd, 2002. DVD sold 2.1 million copies during its first day release, making it the second highest single day DVD sale of any film behind Pearl Harbor. The film also made $18.6 million in DVD rentals, which is the highest at the time, beating Castaway. It would hold this record for 4 months until it was surpassed by Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone that May. More than 5.5 million home video units were sold by April 2002. A second DVD dubbed the Trick Out Edition, which was released on June 2003, the featured Turbocharged Prelude, Too Fast, Too Furious, a short film that set the tone of the film's sequel. And an abridged version of the short film is also on the sequel's DVD release. Also, I want to try to pull this up here. I was reading this right here. And I own the Blu-ray box set of 8 Fast and Furious. On the Blu-ray edition on the Fast and Furious. Pull this up right here. Actually, let me pull it up on this one right here. Where do I have it at? Where did I see this here? I was just looking right at this. I thought it was. Here we go, right here. Let me go back to filming. Here we go. Right here. Okay. An alternative ending. They had a different ending than the way the film ended. If you remember at the end of the movie, Brian O'Connor, Connell, whatever, O'Connor, my mind, gives his keys to Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto, and he says, I owe you 10 second a car, and Dom drives off. Well, an alternate ending titled More Than Furious was filmed, in which Tanner drops Brian off at Toretto's home, where he encounters Mia packing, intending to move away. Brian reveals that he resigned from LAPD, who let him go quietly, and that he wants another chance with her. Then Mia tells him that it's not going to be that simple. Brian tells her that he's got time. This ending was released in the collection bundle DVD version and Blu-ray. It's on that Blu-ray there. I watched it. During the filming of the movie, yeah, we already said that right there. So, but I want to throw that out there. But all in all, this movie here, a lot of people say it's cheesy. Definitely. Is it corning? Oh yeah. Did anyone deserve an Oscar? What do you think? But it's one of those movies that kicked off a franchise that people's tired of. But there's, again, people like this film, people don't like this film. I like this film from a production point of view. And of course, the one-liners. Of course, you know, he was in my face. I'm in your face, Toretto. I want my car. Or where's he going? Oh, he's going to the car wash. Go fetch my car. Hey, we ain't on your block. I never knocked on nobody. Of course, that there. And then, of course, what you feeling there, Lance? 40 pound or 50 pound? That dude, I'm glad Letty punched him in the face, man. He just, I don't know, Johnny Tran's boy there. And then, of course, you know, you can have any beer you want, as long as it's a Corona. And it's like, dude, I almost had you. You almost had me. You never had your car. I mean, you know, I can go on and on with the one-liners, but there's so many one-liners and stuff out of this movie, which it's one of those movies you remember the one-liners, cheesy one-liners, and just how this movie is. But all in all, production-wise, I love the editing of this film. I love the special effects. I love how they pulled off stuff. I loved how they sequenced things together for this movie. That's why I like this movie, and especially that first street race at that time. I think back 2001, it's like, wow. Never seen anything like it. Looked good. But other than that pretty much all I gotta say about this film. Next film we'll be moving on to, it will be Too Fast, Too Furious. Can't wait to discuss and talk about that. But again, I want to thank everyone for downloading this audio portion and watching this video portion of this podcast. I'm Everett Lee, signing off. Everyone have a good day, good week. We'll see you again next time for another new episode of The Everett Lee Show. Peace.
Follow The Everett Lee Show on the following social media platforms. Facebook, The Everett Lee Show. Twitter, at The Everett _Lee. Instagram, Everett Lee. Subscribe, follow, The Everett Lee Show, on the following platforms. Anchor.fm/Everett Lee Show. YouTube, Everett Lee. And Jonners Podcast Network, WrestlingWithJonners.com.